Do you want to know what real love looks like? Join us today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. There is true, there is true, there is love. What is love? Most of us don't really know exactly what love is or how to define it. And although the Bible does not give us an explicit definition, it does describe and depict love in various applications. You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. And in today's message, he's going to share three attributes of unconditional love, or what is called agape love, described by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Corinthians. The lesson we're about to hear is from Pastor Jeff's new five-message series, The Greatest of These is Love. It's also our gift of thanks to you for your support of any amount to From His Heart this month. Find out more when you go to fromhisheart.org. Now, though, open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Here's Pastor Jeff to begin the message, I want to know what love is.
1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul is focusing in on love. Now remember, the Corinthians are having all sorts of problems. They're having problems with jealousy and strife and pride and sexual immorality. The church is rife with problems. And the main problem that they're having is they're not practicing love. They're not loving one another. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, the Greeks had four main words for love. They had the word eros. Eros is erotic love, romantic love. When you ask somebody about what is love, they kind of go to love between a man and a woman, just kind of naturally go to romantic love. Well, that's the word eros. Eros is not used in the Bible. We have other words in the Greek for love. Storge is another word for love. Storge is family love. That's kind of tight. You know, I love my family. And for most of us, that's just a natural thing. Then you have phileo. Phileo's brotherly love. And then you have the word that's used over and over and over and over again in the Bible, and that's agape love. That's the highest kind of love. That's a love without conditions. I love you not because you do this. I love you not if you do this. I love you in spite of the things that you do. That's how God loves us, and that's how God commands us to love Him and to love other people. So Paul is really rebuking the Corinthians because they're not exhibiting love. And he told them in the first three verses, hey, love is primary. If you don't have love, you guys are all excited about your spiritual gifts. And he talks about spiritual gifts in chapter 12 and in chapter 14. And right sandwiched in the middle is this discussion on love. And he's saying, I don't care what kind of spiritual gift you have. If you don't have love, it amounts to nothing. And he says these three things. He says, without love, I have nothing. I am nothing. I gain nothing. Love is primary. And then he goes on in verse 4 and following to describe love. This is what he says. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And he sums up and says, love never fails. So if you take all those things together, 15 from verses 4, 5, and 6, 15 different attributes and characteristics of love. And interesting, we read in the English, these are adjectives. In the Greek, they're verbs. So we want to look at this agape love that Paul talks about and look at those first three attributes. So attribute number one, agape love is long-suffering. Love is patient. The Greek word for patient is the Greek word, compound Greek word, makrothumio. Macro means long. I remember when I was at the University of Texas, I had to take macroeconomics. And then the next semester, I took microeconomics. Macroeconomics is the big picture view of economics, and micro is the smaller view. So macro means big, means long, and thumio means anger. It means when you're patient, it takes a long time for you to get angry. It's a love that is slow to anger, and it's a love that patiently endures hardships and hard people, hard to love people, hardships and hard heads. We deal with folks like that, that are hard people. They're just hard to love. And so love is patient with those people. Now that is God's love. And everything that Paul says about love as he describes love, remember this, it's a picture of God because God is love. God is agape. And Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this is a picture and a depiction of the Lord Jesus Christ. And right off the bat, love is patient because the Lord is patient. Now, when Debbie and I went to Branson, we saw the presentation of Noah at the Sights and Sounds Theater. And if you ever get an opportunity to see that, I know some of you have seen it. It is excellent. But in the presentation of Noah, it picks up in Genesis chapter 6 how the world is wicked beyond belief. And the Bible says that God is grieved in his heart because every intent of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. And God said, I'm going to have to destroy man from the face of the earth. And the scripture says that even though it was so bad, God says, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, Genesis 6:3, yet his days shall be 120 years. Isn't that amazing? I mean, if you're at the end of your rope with somebody, I mean, you're God, and you see that every intent of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually, and you say, I'm not gonna mess with you anymore. I'm not gonna plead with you anymore, but I'm gonna give you some time. How about 120 seconds? And I'll give you 120 seconds to get right, otherwise I'm bringing destruction. God is slow to anger. And he gave them 120 years, even though they didn't repent. Just Noah and his family were the only ones that went on the ark. And the Bible clearly says that in the book of 1 Peter that the patience of God was waiting in the days of Noah, but nobody responded. God is long-suffering. When the Lord revealed himself to Moses, Moses said, Lord, Exodus 33, show me your glory. And the Lord said, well, I'll show you the backside of my glory, and I'll make all my goodness pass before you. And he did that with Moses, and he hid him in the cleft of the rock, and he covered him with his hand, and then he passed by, and he declared his name, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. The Lord is not slow about his promises, as some men count slowness, but is patient, the Bible says, toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Sometimes we say, how come it's been so long since Jesus was on the earth? He said he'd come again, but it's been 2,000 years. Why is God so slow? The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some men count slowness. He's patient toward you because he doesn't want you to perish. I got saved in 1980. If Jesus had come back in 1979, I would have missed it. I'd have missed out on it. I'd have had to gone through the great tribulation. Who knows if I would have gotten saved then, but he didn't. He was patient toward me. And so regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation. God is a patient God. So that agape love is patient. It's a love that is slow to anger, that patiently endures. It's a love that cuts people lots of slack. Do you do that in your relationships with people? Do you do that in the relationships with your own family? Do you cut them lots of slack? So often we don't. So often we're so impatient with people. We're impatient with people at work. We're impatient with people in the neighborhood. We're impatient with people on the road. We're impatient with people at home. Love is patient. Love is long-suffering with people. And see, that word, makrothumio, it means that you can retaliate, but you don't retaliate. Because that's a love that waits patiently for the Lord. We wait on the Lord when we practice patience. The scripture says, be patient until the coming of the Lord. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone, but respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. So when we're patient until the coming of the Lord. We don't retaliate even though we could, because love is patient. It is long-suffering. Second attribute, agape love, not only is it patient and long-suffering, it is kind and gracious. Kind and gracious. Love is patient. Verse 4, love is kind. That word for kind is also a word that Jesus used when he said in Matthew chapter 11, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. It is kind, it is gracious, and my burden is light. Kindness is so critical, it is so important. When my girls were little, I said, we're going to have a scripture that is going to be the scripture for our home. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind to one another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. It's important for kids to be kind to one another. Now, I had three girls, and I think girls are great. Girls rock. But girls are, when they're good, they're great. When they're bad, they're horrible. Can I get an amen, somebody? I mean, there's a reason why there's a television show called Mean Girls. They don't have mean boys, I don't think. It's just mean girls. Boys, they just go out and fight. But girls pick each other to death. They can be just so catty. And you might remember the poem, there was a little girl who had a little curl right in the middle of her forehead. When she was good, she was very, very good. And when she was bad, she was horrid. That's the way girls are. When they're good, they're great. When they're bad, they're terrible. And so we had with the girls, hey, Ephesians 4:32, family verse, be kind to one another. See, kindness treats others with respect. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says that love does not act unbecomingly. Love is not rude. Love treats others with respect. Remember, the Lord says, if there's not love there, whatever you're doing, You have nothing, you are nothing, you gain nothing, nothing on eternity's clock. And so we're supposed to be respectful of other people, and we don't treat them like they're some kind of second-class person. Now, interesting, so patience is I take from you. I could retaliate, but I choose not to retaliate because love is long-suffering. Kindness is what you give in return. See, it's kind of like two sides of the same coin. So on one side, love says, I will take from you and I'll be long-suffering with you and I'll be patient with you. And on the other side, instead of retaliating against you, I'm going to give you kindness, that which you do not deserve. See, kindness gives a blessing and not an insult. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, to sum up, let all be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you are called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Don't return insult for insult. Have you noticed how we just naturally, if somebody gets you, that you just want to get them back? Well, that's kind of the world's way. If somebody insults you, you go one up on them. You know, it's kind of like playing catch with your friend. I was the youngest of three brothers. And so if I played catch with Larry or Greg, you know, they could throw the ball harder than I could. And so we're just throwing, you know, playing catch. You throw it to me, I throw it to you. You throw it to me, I throw it to you. You know, you got your glove on. And all of a sudden, if he comes hard, well, then it's like, okay, my manhood is on the line here. I got to come harder. And he comes harder, I got to come harder. And we do that so often in relationships, so often in marriage. And in the closest person to us, she says something we don't like, so we come back with something to get her, and then she comes back to get us, and it's insult for insult. The Bible says don't do that. Give a blessing instead. A gentle answer, Proverbs 15:1, turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I was speaking, Debbie and I were speaking at a family life conference some years ago, and one of the guys that we were speaking with told a story about taking his wife and his young son, I think he was about 4 or 5 years old, to Disneyland. They lived in the Anaheim, California area, and so they went to Disneyland, and they were building the Disneyland up to their little boy, saying, oh, this is going to be great, you're going to love this, all the different things at Disneyland, and then at the end, there's a big fireworks show. And so that's going to be like the cherry on the sundae. And so the little kid was so excited. So they get there, and, you know, they had to park, you know, in a different time zone. And you know how it is at those places. And so walking and walking and walking. And they had a stroller for him because they knew, hey, this is going to be a lot of walking. He can't do all that. So they had a stroller for him. Well, so they spent the day at Disneyland. They did all the fun stuff. And then it's coming down to the evening and the fireworks, and their little boy falls asleep. And, I mean, he's out. And so my friend Ty tells his wife, said, listen, I've had all the fun I want to have. You know how it is, for especially for dads, with going to a place like that. So they're like, let's just go. He's asleep, and I don't need to see the fireworks, and so let's go. So they packed everything up, and they go back to the car. And when they get all the way back to the car, and he pulls his son out to put him in the car seat, the little boy wakes up. And the little boy wants to know about the fireworks. And his dad said, well, that ship sailed, son, you know, because you fell asleep. And so we didn't get to see the fireworks. And you know, it's just too late, it's too far. And the little boy starts to scream, and he starts to carry on, and he starts to cry, and it gets loud. And the father's getting, I mean, the long suffering is going out the window. And then his wife says to him, Ty, we could just go back and we could put him in the stroller and we could get back in there. They'd probably let us in. We wouldn't have to pay again. And let's just do it. And then he just hits his breaking point and he snaps at her. And he says some ugly things to her. He doesn't cuss at her or anything like that, but he's just rude to her. And he's just very curt and demeaning. He was insulting. And you know how that works, where somebody does that to you, and your natural inclination has come back to him. And so he was insulting to her, and she looked at him, and she looked deeply into his eyes, and she said, Ty, I love you. Thank you for taking us here. I know this has been hard, but thank you for doing that. And he said his heart just melted when he saw his wife just being so sweet to him. It was undeserved. He was being a jerk. And he just, let's get him back in the stroller. Let's go. You know, we need to do this. But it made all the difference in the world. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Love is kind and gracious, even when people don't deserve it. Listen, you know, I have a heart for wait staff when I go out to eat. I always like to engage the waiter or waitress. I like to find out a little bit about them. Always like to give them a good tip. Always like to bless them. Sometimes you have a really good waiter or waitress. Sometimes you have one that's not so great. But they still need to be treated with kindness. And you know what's so bad is that so many waiters and waitresses don't like to work on Sundays because they know the Christians are coming for lunch. And the Christians can be so rude and so demeaning and so demanding. Hey, love is kind and love is gracious. And we need to be that way. And then thirdly, kindness does not go off on people. Agape love is kind and gracious, and kindness doesn't go off on people. Now, here's what I want you to think of going off on people, because we've all done it before, where you hit the breaking point like my friend Ty did and went off on his wife and his son. We've all done that before. But here's where you really need to watch it so that you don't go off. Two words, you need to write it down: social media. People go off on other people on social media. Have you noticed that?
Well, I think most people have had the regretful opportunity to notice that. Now, perhaps you've even participated in that yourself. Well, that is not love, is it? These truths today are from Pastor Jeff's message, "I Want to Know What Love Is." And it's from his new 5-message series, "The Greatest of These is Love." This series is our gift of thanks to you for your support of any amount this month to From His Heart, as we're reaching the world with this good news. Pastor Jeff is a volunteer, receiving no income from any gifts given to From His Heart. So contact us today and request "The Greatest of These is Love" on a USB flash drive, CDs, DVDs, or as an immediate MP3 download. Call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org. And thank you for helping us on this journey to bring Christ to others. But speaking of journeys, Pastor Jeff has a special invitation for you today. Pastor?
The land of the Bible. Have you ever been there? It is such a remarkable place. In late September, I'm going to lead a group to the land of Israel to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. We're going to have a full schedule of sights to take in and enjoy. We're going to sail on the Sea of Galilee, baptize in the Jordan River, swim in the Dead Sea, walk on Mount Carmel, pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, and celebrate the Lord's Supper at Golgotha and the Garden Tomb. It truly is the trip of a lifetime and a spiritual experience that will change your life. I hope you'll prayerfully consider joining me on this epic journey. I look forward to being with you in Israel.
Well, that will be amazing. And we hope that you can join us September 27th through October the 6th. All the details can be found at fromhisheart.org. Just click the Holy Land picture on our homepage, and we'll see you there. Well, thank you for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, hoping you'll be with us on Thursday for part 2 of this empowering lesson, "I Want to Know What Love Is." Here's a sample of what's to come then.
God is never jealous of you. He's jealous for you. Because God knows that the thing you need is Him. And so He's jealous for you to follow after Him, to come to Him, to walk with Him. He jealously desires the Spirit whom He has given to us to dwell in us and to dominate us. God has that desire for you and for me. God is a jealous God. He's jealous for you, not jealous of you.
We'll see you next time as we again share real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart. Here on From His Heart. His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you, and He has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to FromHisHeart.org.